every World Communion Sunday, my mind and heart return to a special place in my life. It's the place where I first really understood what World Communion Sunday was about. It takes me back to my days at Skerritt College in Nashville, Tennessee, as I worked on my master's degree in Christian education. Every year, the students from Skerritt join with staff from the Upper Room International offices to celebrate World Communion. At the very far edge of the Skerritt campus, just across the street, was the Upper Room Chapel and all of the offices for the Upper Room Ministries. The chapel there is really quite simple. It's lovely. It's beautiful in its simplicity. It does, however, have a very unique feature that is not found in very many places. In its chancel area, where our focus is on the cross, in the Upper Room Chapel, the unique feature and its focal point is a nearly life-size wood carving of Leonardo da Vinci's painting of the Last Supper. It was sculpted by Ernest Pellegrini. This work of art was created by 50 people over 14 months. Imagine carving a piece out of wood that is 17 feet wide and 8 feet high, and seems to have a depth of many feet. When you are in the chapel and you look at it, you sense that the disciples and Jesus are right there in the room with you, because of the perception that you have and kind of what we would call a 3D way. Actually, however, the carving is only 8 inches deep. You stand amazed in the presence of Christ and the disciples each time you enter that chapel. You may know the song, "Jesus Loves the Little Children," all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Between Skerritt's international students and community and the staff of the Upper Room, which also had international people serving, when we came together for World Communion, it truly was a gathering of all the children of the world. We gathered at table just as Jesus and his disciples did. And to be honest, in the Upper Room Chapel, when you're sitting there with the focal point of the wood carving, you really sense that the disciples and Jesus are sitting there with you. I saw and experienced World Communion and what it truly meant for the first time as we shared that sacred meal together. For many of us, this worship service took us back to our own home countries, to our home churches, to our families, as we felt connected to them in a very real way as we celebrated Holy Communion on that day. For you see, we knew no matter what country we came from or where our hometown was, the church we came from and the people we loved were sharing the same service with us. I have to admit, when I was at Skerritt in Nashville, I did get homesick. However, I also must admit that on the day in which we celebrated World Communion, both years, when I left, I had tears. It wasn't because I was homesick for home on that day, but it was because of the power of sharing in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, which unites Christians around the world. So often we come and we take Holy Communion, we receive Holy Communion, and sometimes it just seems rote. We come and do it because that's what we do on the first Sunday of the month. But for me, being in the Upper Room Chapel, it meant so much more. We experienced it through the carving. We experienced the communion in the international community. We experienced the communion that Christ gave for all of us. Without a doubt, on World Communion Sunday, there's a scripture from the Psalms that is fulfilled. Psalm 113, verses 3 and 4 tell us, from the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above the nations, and his glory above the heavens. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. On this day, beginning at the international dateline, from the rising of the sun over every country until the sun sets in every country, our brothers and sisters in Christ are sharing in the bread of life and the cup of salvation. Can you grasp that? It's hard for us who may not have taken any international travel or who aren't familiar with international students to really wrap our mind around it. But it's a gift from God for all of us. It's his grace. And on this day, all Christians are being brought to the table of the Lord. In the reflection in your bulletin, you have a brief history of how World Communion Sunday began. However, it does not tell you that it came about during a time of hopelessness and fear, and a time when people needed something to bring them together and strengthen them. Look at the date. It was difficult times. War was raging in Europe, depression time, and people needed hope. So this Presbyterian church began the tradition of what became known as World Communion Sunday. You know, as I think about it and reflect upon it, I believe that the times we are living in are very much the same as they were when this was started. We are living in a time of fear. We are living in a time when many are hopeless. We are living in a time when we don't know what's going to happen next. We are living in a time where we need a reminder that we have a Savior who can unite us as one and can give us his peace. I want to share with you a scripture reading from Luke chapter 22, verses 14 and ongoing. It's Luke's recollection of the institution of the Lord's Supper. When the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. The apostles gathered together with Jesus in the upper room. You'll remember that the disciples were the first to truly be united with Christ. They too were living in a time of fear and hopelessness and unrest for many people. As Jesus gave them the bread and cup, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me. Do this to call me back into your life. Do this to remember that I am with you always." And although it's not said that Jesus said this, I tend to think that he also meant this. Do this for the forgiveness of your sins, and then forgive those who sin against you. The apostles who were at that table with Jesus were sent out by him to go into all the world. After they had been given the bread and the cup, one of the first things they did was argue. They argued about who would be the greatest among them. Even after receiving the gift of grace of Jesus, they still didn't fully comprehend what he had done for them. After Jesus' resurrection, and they began to get a little glimpse into what Jesus really meant, we find in the Gospel of Matthew, in the 28th chapter, that he commands them to do something else. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." And guess what the disciples did? They went out. They went out. They went out to preach the good news. They went out to bring others to Christ. They went out in a time of turmoil to have other peoples meet Christ as they had met him. And they did go. They went to a good portion of what the world was in their day. They went to Persia, Britain, France, Babylon, Rome, southern Greece and Ephesus, India and Patmos. They went to Ethiopia, Egypt, Armenia, North Africa, Carthage, Syria, and Spain. They covered much of the known world, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. They went boldly. They went with courage. And they went knowing that Christ was going with them. They did not go into easy situations. They went into situations where they met Gentiles. They went into situations where Jews did not believe what they were teaching. They went into cultures that worshiped idols. But they went. They went. And even though life was difficult, imagine traveling to all these different countries, the 12 apostles. Imagine going to a culture you do not know. Imagine traveling on a road that is rocky with only your sandals. Imagine traveling the known world to tell of Jesus Christ where you do not have the AAA, a roadmap, or a GPS system. Imagine going into an environment where you know you probably will not be welcome, but you go anyway. My friends, today on World Communion Sunday, we here in this church and other churches in Springville are celebrating the Lord's Supper. But more than that, we are hearing the call to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We are united with one Lord and one Savior of the world as we worship on this World Communion Sunday. As we share in the giving of the bread and the cup, we are also sent out into the world, just as Jesus' disciples were sent out, with the same mission they had, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to a hurting, hopeless, fearful world. I understand that not all of us are able to go to Newark to help with that ministry. I know that some of us can't go to Haiti to help build houses. I know that some of us may never travel to see the peanut butter factory that our vegetables support. But I do know we live in this community. And I know that this community is hurting as well. Jesus calls us not to just sit at the table, but to go out from the table. The focus of worship today is the sacrament of Holy Communion. As we come to receive, may we come with open arms and hearts, remembering that Jesus loves all the children of the world and all the children of Springville. Will we have courage to go into places that we might not be familiar with or be comfortable with? Are we ready to see someone from our community who needs the love of Christ, and are we ready to offer that to them? Are we ready to be the witness to the world that Jesus Christ is indeed alive and that Jesus Christ is Lord? I pray that we can embrace today in a special way. Embrace today, knowing that when we meet Christ at this table, He gives us and empowers us with the Holy Spirit that we will be faithful disciples. Let us pray. Open our hearts and minds by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that as we come to the table of the Lord, we may receive you, Jesus, and be strengthened to walk in your way. Amen.